enjoyed that singing this morning. Take your Bibles this morning, turn with me to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter number 22. 1 Samuel chapter number 22. I'd appreciate it if some of my men would just right where you are, just whisper a prayer for me this morning. It's been one of those days my mind has been going in a thousand different directions. You'd have to be a pastor or a preacher to understand this, but I'm more concentrated in my mind on what I'm doing tonight than where I am this morning. So I've just been trying for God to get me focused and pulled in, and kind of thought I had everything figured out, got my outline laying over there on my tablet. And just this morning on the way to church, what was on that tablet just didn't seem to work anymore, and God gave me a simple little thought. And I'll be honest with you, I'm in one of those places where I don't know which way to go. I'm at a crossroads, and so I'm just praying the Lord would be our helper this morning, and you would hear from Him and not from me. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 22, we'll read a few verses of Scripture. Boy, we had a great time Friday night. We had Brother Stacy's bachelor's party, and it was a wild one. Amen. Brother Stacy and myself and my son Levi, we went down to Columbus, Georgia, to Brother Jonathan McNeese's to revival meeting, and that was Stacy's bachelor's party. Amen. And it's about as wild as we get, I reckon. And what a blessing to go to a revival meeting on your bachelor's party. Amen. So we had a good time. 1 Samuel chapter 22, if you're there, say amen. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 22, I'm going to read some scripture, and I'm going to try to kind of bring you up from the Bible to where we are, okay? 1 Samuel chapter number 22. Let me ask you a question. How many of you familiar with David? Amen. David. Sometimes I'm afraid we take it for granted that everybody knows the Bible like we know the Bible. And I'm not bragging saying we know more than anybody else, but some of us grew up in church all our lives, and we take it for granted that everybody is familiar with the story, and we'll read a passage of Scripture and people, they don't know. It's like starting in the middle of a movie or in the middle of a book. Y'all know what I'm talking about? So I'm not going to treat you like you're stupid this morning. I don't mean that. But I do want you to understand where we are in the Word of God. But I want you to look at David. David, how many of you remember David and Goliath? The story of the young boy and the giant. Most people know that one. But we're talking about the same person right here who took a sling and five smooth stones and with one rock killed the great giant Goliath. But in 1 Samuel chapter number 22, I want you to look at this place in David's life, and we're going to preach from this place this morning. The Bible said, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over him, and there were with him about 400 men. And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you this morning, we thank you, God, for a good day already. Lord, we thank you for our people, and Lord, we thank you most of all for your precious Son, and Lord God, for your word this morning. I pray you would illuminate it in the minds and the hearts of people this morning. Use us to be a help and a blessing to someone. Now, Father, I pray you would rein my thoughts in. Lord God, help us to be focused this morning and to say that which you would have us to. And Father, I pray just speak to hearts this morning, and we'll thank you for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to preach to you just for a few minutes on this thought, dealing with your cave. Dealing with your cave. We find David in a place in his life that's not a favorable place, and it's not a fun place. Now, we're talking about a man who the Bible said was a man after God's own heart. David is hiding in a cave. He is on the run. Now we got to think about David and who he is for a minute. This is the boy who played cunningly on his harp, who kept his father's sheep. This is the man who played on the harp for King Saul and drove the evil spirits away. I would say he was somebody who had favor with the Lord. Somebody say amen right there. David has been anointed to be king. David has shared or experienced great victory in his life already. At a young age, at a very young age, David knows great success. At a very young age. I was watching a thing on the History Channel a while back about some kid who started selling office furniture from his laptop at home. I'm talking about like 13, 14 years old. And now he is a multimillionaire. A multimillionaire as a kid. A self-made millionaire. I didn't share much success with David or with this boy selling office chairs as a teenager. I never have been financially successful. Wouldn't know anything about that. But David knew success as a young man. David had defeated an enemy as a young man that everybody else in the land was afraid of. I'm talking about his own brothers, his own family, the army. The army of God was afraid. But this guy fell at David's feet by his hand. But yet we find David in this place. The Bible said that he has escaped. Now, that word escape means he must be on the run. He's running from something. If you know your Bible, you know who, and I know who. He's running from Saul. He escaped, the Bible said, to the cave of Adullam. Now, I don't know a whole lot about caves. There are people who go in caves for a hobby. You're crazy. Brother Tony Shirley, one of my dearest friends, we preach in his hometown every year, and that's coming up pretty soon. But right down the road, down the hill from where Brother Tony grew up, from his mom and dad still live there, there is a place. It's a cave. And one year, Brother Tony said, come on, I want to take you through this cave. And that cave's got water in it. And we went into the mouth of this cave, and it was pretty cool till we kept going. And you reach a point in that cave where you can't see. It's absolutely dark in that cave. So what I'm trying to say that in that cave, David has found himself in a dark place. A young man who has known great victory in his life, a young man who has the anointing of God on his life, finds himself in a dark, dark place. Now, I don't care who you are, how long you've been saved. If we're not careful, and even if we are careful, we'll find ourselves in a dark place. How many of you been there? I'm talking about a dark place, a depressing place, a dismal place, a dreary place, a dreaded place, one that you cannot figure out the way out. David. A man after God's own heart. The author of Psalms 23. I would say that makes him a little higher than Shakespeare, wouldn't you? The sweet psalmist of Israel has found himself in a dark place. In a confusing place. Do you know when people make the worst mistakes of their life? I've been pastoring this church for 23 years. I know something about it. When people make the worst mistakes of their lives, Brother Freddie, it's when they find themselves in a dark place. Have you ever been in a spot where spiritually, financially, physically, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face? That's where David's at. David's in a place where he didn't know what to do. He doesn't know which way to go. Somebody help me right there. I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning, but somebody don't know which way's up. Somebody don't know where to turn. You've done everything you know to do, and it just ain't working. I ain't preaching to the choir this morning. I'm talking to somebody that's in a dark place in your life. One of them places where you don't want the phone to ring. One of them places where you want to pull the covers over your head and just pretend for a little while that you don't exist. David's in that place in his life. Now, something shocks me in this story. And I found some wisdom from David, and this just introduction. We'll get to the message in a minute. But something in this story, for the first time, I've never seen it before. Never seen it before till Friday. I got to reading that story again, Brother Freddie, and David is in this confusing, dark place in his life. He's in a place where he don't know which way to go, he don't know what to do, and he goes to the king in Moab. Moab ain't a good place for an Israelite. He goes to this king and he takes his elderly parents. I forgot what verse that is, Brother Freddie. You looking at it? Number 3. He takes his elderly parents to the king and basically he says, would you take care of my mom and daddy? He puts his parents in the trust of somebody he normally wouldn't trust. Why? Because he don't know which way's up. He don't know what to do. And David said, would you watch after my mom and daddy? Now watch the next statement. He said, till I know what God will do for me. David's in a dark and a dangerous place in his life. So he gets somebody else to help him. Oh, somebody ought to just get with me right here this morning. He gets somebody else to help him this till he can figure out what it is God is doing. Some of you are in a dangerous place, and if you follow your mind and if you follow your heart, you're going to cut your head off to spite your face. What David does, David says, hey, watch over this for me. Take care of them. I'm in no shape to right now till I figure out what God's doing. That's pretty good advice. I don't care who you are, how much money you got, where you come from, you will find yourself in the cave. It's part of life. By the way, people who don't know God, they get in the cave too. But we have something they don't. David said it in verse number 3. Till I see what God will do. Amen. Let's just wait. Hey, honey, baby, let's don't do nothing. Let's just chill. Let's just sit still. And let's see what God does. Amen. That's pretty good advice. Amen. How many times have you tried to fix it? And the cave just got darker. The situation just got dimmer. And it just got worse. Here's a good idea. Let's see what God does. Let's just sit still and let's see what God does. For a few minutes this morning, I want to look at David's life. I was going to preach. I'll just go ahead and give it to you right quick. Not the whole message. I'll just give you the outline. I was going to preach on the realities of the cave. The realities of the cave. There's a lot of people living in la-la land. They think life is Willy Wonka land. All the rivers are made out of chocolate. Are you listening? Life ain't that way. The reality is we're going in some dark places. And we better be prepared for that dark place before we get there. Somebody help me. I was going to preach about the realities of the cave. I was going to talk about the revelations of the cave. What you learn in the dark places. They're coming after somebody. I was going to preach about the refreshments in the cave. But this morning instead, I'm going a little different direction. I want you to notice in David's life, I want to look at the plan for David. The path for David. And then the purpose for David. I want you to notice this morning that David had a plan for his life. Let me rephrase that. David didn't have a plan for his life. God had a plan for David's life. Do you understand that? If you back up, we're in chapter number 22, and David's hiding in a cave. This is one of my favorite books in the Bible. If you back up just a few pages to chapter number 16, things are totally different. In chapter number 16, David is being an obedient boy, and he's keeping his father's sheep. God tells the priest to go down to Jesse's house and anoint one of his sons to be a king. I'm talking about the plan God has for David's life. The preacher comes, the priest comes, if you will, and they parade them boys out in front of them. And God said, don't look on their stature. Amen. Don't look at the one who's head and shoulders and, you know, the big guy who looks like he'd be the one to be a king. Don't pay no attention to that. That ain't him. And the priest said, man, God told me to come down here, but ain't none of these boys cutting it. Is there anybody else? And he said, well, we got one, but he's out tending the sheep. He said, go get him. And they come in with this little ruddy boy, young man. I don't know how old he was, young. We'll just leave it at that. And David comes in, the most least likely candidate, I would say. How do you know he was the least likely? Because his daddy didn't present him. His daddy chose all his brothers over him. By the way, be careful. Be careful who you choose. If we're not careful, we'll go anoint somebody ahead of God. I don't know how many mama called preachers I've seen. I grew up, I've been in church all my life. I don't know how many times Shay Talent, that sorry rascal, he was always a good boy. And that's what they call it. Oh, Shay, he's a good boy. He'll be a preacher one day. He'll be a preacher one day. All his life, Brother Todd, they told Shay, oh, yeah, he'll be a preacher one day. He wouldn't even say. Do you know what they said about me? Anybody want to know? It wasn't he going to be a preacher one day. He'll be a convict. Now, Shay, Talent, and Jeff Bird, oh, yeah, them boys born preacher. But Eddie White's a born convict. And by the way, and they were right, them two boys did become preachers. And I almost became a convict. But I'm glad God had another plan. Now listen, chapter number 16, this is an exciting time in David's life. David's out minding his business. He's keeping his father's sheep. Maybe that's where you've been, minding your business, doing what you know to do. And up shows a man of God and he's got a vessel or a bottle, if you will, of oil. And he anoints David and said, you're going to be the king. And I imagine David, I mean, he's just a shepherd. He's a nothing. He's a nobody. I bet he said, far out. Cool, man. Me? I'm going to be the king? Wow. That's exciting. That's so exciting. Do you know how amazing it would be to find out God's plan for your life before you ever get to it? That's never really happened for me. I learn it day by day as I go. I get smack dab in the middle of it and go, oh, this is what you had in mind. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But David knows in his mind and his heart that God has anointed him to be the king. You got to understand the implication of that. That's power, Brother Samuel. That's complete authority. Not chosen by man, chosen by God. Now listen, just as God had a plan for David's life, you can mark her down, he's got one for yours. It ain't riding the bar stool. It ain't shooting nothing in your arm. Come on. It ain't fooling around on your spouse. That ain't God's plan for your life. Are you listening? There are some this morning in this building, in this room, under the sound of my voice, who are finding God's plan for their life. That's the most exciting thing to me as a pastor. To watch people find their place. There ain't nothing greater in life. How many of you ever remember laying in bed, especially right after you got a good whooping when you was a kid? I grew up when that was legal. Now you got to hide to do it. Lay in the bed and think, why was I even born? Y'all remember that? I wish I was dead. Oh, you got a whooping. I wish it was that simple again, where I could just take a whooping and it'd be over with. Amen. But it's an exciting thing to find God's plan for your life. It is so cool, man. Have you ever been in that place where you don't know which way to go and you don't know what to do? You don't have a plan, and then all of a sudden God reveals what His plan for your life is. Here's what I want you to do. Man, now at least we know which way to go. Amen. If we know what the plan is. Yes, sir. I knew God called me to preach as a young Christian. I knew that. I knew that. That was God's plan for me to preach. But then God began to expand that plan. I thought I'd be an evangelist. I'm going to travel around the country, make everybody's church members mad and leave. Amen. Amen. That's the mentality of a lot of evangelists. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, won't you let me come by your church? I'll straighten that crowd out. I said, I'd rather you didn't. I mean, he was bragging, telling me he's going to come over here and make everybody mad and leave. I said, won't you come make everybody mad and stay? And when they come to me, I'm going to say, talk to him. Y'all okay? I thought I'd be an evangelist. I remember John Mitchell coming to our church. John Mitchell. I thought, that's what I want to do. I remember Ed Ballou coming. Edgar Thomas, that old crippled up hand. Whoo, yeah, that's what I'm going to do right there. I knew I was called to preach. But then God began to expand that plan, and I began to learn more and more and more. And one day God began to work in my heart and give me a pastor's heart and gave me a love for people. Oh, it's crazy. It's amazing to find that plan. There are some who are finding God's plan for their life, and that's awesome. David found God's plan for his life. But there are some who are doing a step further. It's one thing to find God's plan, but it's another thing to fulfill God's plan. Are you listening? There's a difference in knowing the will of God and doing the will of God. There are a lot of people in this room, you know good and well what the will of God is for your life, but you're doing something totally opposite. We okay? I'm telling you, I'm just trusting God and following my heart this morning. There are some that have found God's will, but there's some who's fulfilling God's will. One of the most peaceful things in my life is knowing that I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm where God wants me to be. I'm not tempted to run off everywhere else. I don't threaten to resign my church to my men once a year. Y'all okay? I know pastors personally, that's what they do. Every time they want a raise, they threaten to resign. Well, they don't say that, but I'm like, why don't you just tell the truth? Tell them to give you more money or you're leaving. Some of y'all look a little squeamish. I'm not after a raise. I don't want one. I got more to know what to do with. Amen. Somebody said, well, how much does church pay you? Not enough. But I'm pleased with it. Amen. We okay? Just being honest and plain. I have found God's plan for my life. But I haven't just found God's plan for my life. I'm fulfilling God's plan for my life. Now listen to me carefully. Some of y'all are in the cave because you found it, but you're not fulfilling it. You know what you're supposed to be doing, and you're not doing it. So there are those with the plan for David's life. God had a plan for his life. He found the plan. He's fulfilling the plan, but here's some this morning. You wouldn't believe this. Had a young man tell me already in here this morning. There are some who know the plan, but instead of fulfilling the plan, they're fleeing the plan. I couldn't believe it. The Lord changed my thoughts. He changed my... I could show you both outlines. Here's this one. That's my notes. The little picture of the cowboy on the bottom is bigger than the whole outline. That one on my iPad is about 3 pages long. This is what God gave me this morning. Some have found the plan, some are fulfilling the plan, but some are fleeing the plan, and was going to use Jonah. Had a young man told me this morning, he said, God called me to preach. He said, but I did like Jonah, and I went in the opposite direction. I thought, good night, you want to preach? I know what I'm supposed to do, but I went another direction. Some are fleeing God's plan for their life. Why don't you quit running? Why don't you quit running? Here's the problem, and I got to hurry. Here's the problem. The problem's not the plan. The problem with David is not the plan. David never said, no, I'm not going to be a king. David didn't argue with God. The problem wasn't the plan. And the problem with us is not the plan. We got some preacher boys in here. You remember when God called you to preach? Wasn't that awesome? When you surrender to do what God wants you to do? Man, wasn't it awesome when God showed you who you're supposed to spend the rest of your life with? When you started finding God's will for your life, man, that's the coolest thing in the world. We don't have a problem with the plan. We don't have a bit of problem with the plan. Here's where the problem comes in. It's the path. It's the path. God says, I want you to be king. All right, crown me. Well, not yet. I want you to be king over all my people. Okay, give me the scepter. Give me the sword. Give me the crown. Direct me to the throne. And God says, wait a minute. Kingship is the plan. But you're not quite ready to fulfill that plan. There's a path you must take.
Yes.
Oh, okay, no problem. Wait a minute. That path involves a cave.
Amen.
A cave? What are you talking about a cave? I'm anointed to be king. Kings don't live in caves. Kings live in castles. Kings don't sleep with their head on a rock. They sleep in stately beds with feather pillows. They don't live in caves. What are you talking about, a cave? Well, that's part of the path to get you to the plan. Are we okay? Have you ever got to a point in your life when you're trying to fulfill the plan and you thought, I didn't sign up for this? I didn't know this was going to be part of it.
Yeah.
I remember as a young preacher blasting people who were depressed. I'd tell them, why don't you just get right with God? Till I got depressed. Now I look at them young preachers and I go, poor idiot. God help him. They preach like that because they ain't never been in the cave.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. Caves are very much a part of the plan.
Yes, sir.
They're the path.
Yes, sir.
They're the path. And by the way, those caves, they're necessary. Without those caves, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, we'll never be prepared for where God's taking us. Amen. Some of you are in the cave right now. Let me just tell you, don't quit in the cave.
Amen.
It gets better. It gets better. David's cave is not over after this story. It goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on all the way to 2 Samuel before he really gets to be the king. You know what pretty much has to happen? Y'all stay with me. That old king got a croak. That old man that's in charge, it got to die. And a lot of times that's what the path in our life is. It's a killing of that old king. And it's a resurrecting of that new king.
Amen.
Amen. There's an old man that I used to be that still tries to rise up and give me fits. Amen. Sometimes before we can fulfill that plan, in somewhere in that path, that old king starts dying. Are we okay? It's not the plan we got a problem with. It's the path. Paul, the Lord said to Paul, he said, Paul, is it hard for you to kick against the pricks? Is it hard for you to fight against what's right? Oh, how often do we do that? David knows the plan for his life at an early age. I'm going to be a king. We've got them this morning. Some of you know the plan for your life. Some of you are so excited and on fire for God, you're working on finding God's plan for your life. That's a neat thing. I look at some of our teenagers. I was aggravating the Latour girls about getting engaged. And man, we've prayed for husbands for them girls since they was little. Man, ain't nobody more excited about that than I am.
Yes,
but I really will. We'll string them boys up in the baptistry. Amen. Amen. We'll kill them both. Hey, they, not, yeah. That's an exciting time. Man, me and Sister Angie, we're on the, I'm on the downhill side of this thing. She's still in her 30s, to hear her tell it. But man, you remember those exciting days when you were just starting on that path? Wow. And little did we know about the caves we had come into, our son being in a coma, burying a sister and a brother and a nephew, and on and on and on and on. There have been days, hey, by the way, I wouldn't trade paths with nobody. I wouldn't trade my cave for your mountain any day of the week. But there's days the path has been hard. God had a plan for David, and God had a path for David. Now listen. Now here's the purpose, and I'm done. The purpose for that path. Have you ever found yourself, Brother Todd, come on, piano, I'm going to quit. Have you ever found yourself in a place in your life, and here was the number one word in your mind? Why? Why? Do you think David ever stopped to wonder when he was in that cave? Why? What have I done to deserve this? I don't know if you know your Bible or not, but what did David do to deserve having to hide in that cave? Nothing. Is a cave what being obedient cost you? Sometimes. It was part of it. What's the purpose of the cave? Why have I got to come here? Well, it's in the cave where you learn something. In the cave, you're going to learn who you are. Let me just say it again. In the cave, in the dark place in your life, you're going to learn who you are. Oh, everybody's on fire for God on the mountain. Everybody's on fire for God at camp meeting. Everybody's on fire for God at youth rally. But it's when we get in them dark places and when we get in them caves, we find out who we really are. Oh, everybody gonna serve God till trouble comes. David, I want you to be king. All right, man, that's a good idea. Hey, by the way, Saul wants to kill you. The whole army of Israel's after you. They got your picture down there in the post office, but I want you to be the king. A little different, ain't it? A little different. It's all great when you're popular. They're writing songs about you. That's what they're doing. They're writing songs about David. He killed Goliath, man. Woo, what a day. Yeah. Now in that cave, it's a little bit different. You learn a little bit of something in that cave about who you are. Secondly, in that cave, here's the purpose of the cave. Here's why you're in the dark place. You're going to learn something about who you are. And you're going to learn something about who God is. I've learned more about the Lord and got closer to the Lord in the dark places in my life than I ever have during the sunshine. I've learned who God is. I love that old song, God Walks the Dark Hills. Y'all ever heard that old song? Sister Janice sings, in my darkest valley, I found a rose. It's in the dark places, man, where I learned to lean on Him, where I learned to trust Him. Here's what David said, and I haven't been able to get past this, and I may have to preach on it a little bit more. And in verse number 3, he said, till I see what God will do for me. Till I see. Woo! God help me in my cave. Not to just learn about who I am, but God help me to learn to wait on You and learn a little bit more about who You are. You remember the disciples in Mark chapter number 4? In the storm of their life, they woke Jesus up in the back of the boat and said, Master, carest Thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And there was a great calm. Y'all remember that? That story ended with, what manner of man is this? It began with, carest thou not that we perish? That's where some of y'all are right now. God, do you even care where I am? Do you even care what's going on? But listen, not only in that dark place will you learn something about yourself, if you'll be patient, you'll learn something about who God is. You might be at the do you even care stage right now. But if you'll stay faithful and you'll hang in there and you'll pray and you'll trust Him, I promise you, you'll wind up with an ending of, wow, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey Him. The purpose of that cave, you learn about who you are, you learn about who God is. Listen, you learn who you can trust. You find out who your friends are in the cave. Oh, everybody's your friend when you win the lottery. Everybody's a friend when you got a brand new swimming pool. Wait till it turns green. Wait till all your money's gone. Y'all all right? Here's what David found. Verse number 2. Bible said, and everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves to Him. You ever heard those saying, misery loves company? David's in a cave. Who does God send him? A bunch of people's worse off than he is. I read, 400 of them. I read that verse and I thought, God sent my church down there. Happy Valley went to David in the cave. A bunch of in debt, distressed, discontented. Somebody help me right there. Here's what David found out in his low place in his life. If you're not careful, you'll get in that cave and you'll think you're all by yourself. And nobody cares. But in that cave, there was some people who came. We're here, Dave. I know it's dark. I don't know what's going to happen, but we're here. Thank God for them people. In my darkest hour, Jesus is always there. I know that. Thank God for them people. When you don't even feel like you can pick up your head. You ever come down to the altar and your heart was just broken? Nobody knows your problem. Nobody knows what you're going through. And all of a sudden there's a hand on your back. Somebody's there to help you bear that burden. You only learn that in the cave.
Amen.
You don't learn that nowhere else.
That's right.
It's in the cave. If we'd learn how to deal with our caves, our dark experiences, we might be better for it. I wonder who's in the cave this morning. I wonder if somebody's made this statement in the cave. I was better off before I got right with God. I didn't have this much trouble before I got saved. That's because the devil wasn't your enemy then. You say, well, God don't care where I'm at. He knows where you're at. He allowed you to be there. He's got you there for a reason. There's a purpose for the cave you're going through right now. You're going to learn something about yourself. You're going to learn something about God. And you're going to learn something about the people around you. I've had it both ways. Go through the struggles and go through the trials. Those people you think you can depend on, you turn around, they're gone. But there's been way more that you turn around and no matter what, they're there. Let me just say thank God for this church. For not just being there for one another when things are good. Not just being there when the babies are born. Not just being there when the wedding ceremony takes place. Thank you for being there in the funeral home. In the ICU. Thank you for being there when your friends slip and they fall. Let's stand to our feet this morning.